All right, brethren, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Our text will be the last phrase in verse 2 and verse 3, but we'll begin with verse 1. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it." Now here's a most sad word. "Neither yet now are ye able." Neither yet now are ye able. After this so long a period of time of hearing the gospel preached faithfully, their spiritual growth was hindered. Their spiritual growth was hindered. And this is the saddest part of this, is they were the ones who hindered it. They were the ones who hindered it. That's what Paul says here. He says, "For ye are yet carnal." The word "for" means because. You're not able now because ye are yet carnal. "For whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Now let me point this out before we get into the text. This is not that so-called doctrine of the carnal Christian that so many preach and teach, which is a false doctrine. What I mean by that is there are some that teach that a sinner can be regenerated by God the Holy Spirit, and he can be brought under the sound of the gospel, and yet he can leave the gospel, he can leave his brethren, and go out into the world and live to himself, to his flesh, the rest of his days. And men say, "But he's a believer, he's just a carnal Christian." And then there are others who teach that if you're God's elect, even some of God's elect will not be regenerated in this lifetime. And yet, if they're God's elect, they'll be saved. If they never heard the gospel, they never believed the gospel, they might be carnal. But in the end, they'll be found to be Christians. It'll be found that they were just carnal Christians. Now, neither one of those doctrines are according to the Word of God. And that's not what Paul's dealing with here. It's not what he's teaching here. Those to whom Paul wrote were united by the Spirit of God, as far as being born of God. He calls them brethren. As far as we know, they were regenerated children of God. And they were united with the other members of Christ's church as far as hearing the gospel preached. They were there where the gospel was preached. They were with them where the gospel was preached. But the problem was is that their carnal hearts were set on carnal things. That carnal old spirit that's in every believer was set on carnal things. And so it was preventing them, it was hindering them from being able to hear the Word of God that was being preached. And so it was stunting their growth or hindering their growth, because if you can't hear the Word of God, that's how we're going to grow, by the Word of God. So they had all these carnal things that they had their attention focused on, and it was preventing them from hearing the Word of God. Now, here's what I want us to get tonight. If we would grow in grace as believers, then as the Holy Spirit of God feeds us through the preaching of the gospel, we must continue feeding upon God's Word. We must continue feeding upon God's Word here and at home. We must be in God's Word. We must be giving ourselves to the Word of God, feeding upon the Word of God, rather than upon these carnal things, upon these carnal fleshly things. Our subject tonight is hungry, harmless babies and understanding men. Hungry, harmless babies and understanding men. And that's really our outline. I want to show you, first of all, hungry babies. Now, the sense in which Paul said here that they were still babies, that was a negative thing, because they had been in the gospel now for a while, but they were still babies. But now, it's good to be a baby as far as our hunger for the Word of God. Now, that's a good way to be a baby. It's good to be a baby as far as hungering after the Word of God. And then harmless babies. Another thing that was negative here is they were being strong men when it came to the carnal flesh and the deeds of the carnal flesh. But it's good to be a baby when it comes to our carnal lusts, to the malice of the flesh. It's good to be a baby in that regard. It's good to be a baby in submission to God. And in far as malice goes, don't be malicious. Don't live in the strength of the flesh. It's good to be a baby in that regard. And then discerning or understanding men. In regard to spiritual understanding, in regard to spiritual growth, it's good to be men. It's good to be babies as far as our hunger for the gospel. It's good to be babies as far as the carnal flesh is concerned and malice is concerned. But when it comes to spiritual growth, it comes to spiritual understanding, spiritual discernment, it's good to be men. It's good to be men. Now, those will be the three things we look at. First of all, it's good to be as babies in our desire for the Word of God. You see, they were babies in the sense that they were still having to feed upon the milk of the gospel. But by now, they had lost that desire for that milk because of this carnal flesh. And that's not a good thing. It's good to always be as a baby when it comes to hungering after the Word of God. Turn to 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter. We're going to have three different scriptures for our text tonight. 1 Peter, in addition to this, we'll have three others. 1 Peter 2. Peter says, wherefore, verse 1, 1 Peter 2, 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, laying that aside, he says, verse 2, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That newborn baby has one hunger. It's got one thing that it wants to do. It wants to eat. It wants to eat. It's hungry for the mother's milk. And that's what he's saying here. Hunger for the Word of God. That's good to be a baby in that sense. Hunger for the Word of God. Look back up at 1 Peter 1. I want to show you why the Spirit of God moved Peter to write this. Why is the Word of God so important? Look at 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The first reason the Word's important is because it's by the Word of God that we were born again. We were dead in sins, and we couldn't make ourselves be born again. The Holy Spirit gave us life, regenerated us, through the preaching of the Word of God, through the Word of God. And I guarantee you, whatever one of us did who believed, when God gave us that hunger, opened our eyes, gave us life, and opened our eyes to the Scriptures, and we first began to have this hunger, I know what we did. You began looking all through this Word, didn't you? You began looking for faithful books that could give you some light on this, and faithful preachers that were preaching this word, you couldn't get enough of feeding on the Word of God. Because that's how you were born by it, and you began to hunger after it. Well, what about now? What about now? Still doing that? That's what he's saying here. Don't lose that hunger you had as a newborn baby, like the newborn baby. Then the second reason he says here is because our carnal flesh, at the very best, at its very best glory, our flesh in all its glory, is dead and dying, and it's soon going to just wither away. But this Word by which we were born, this Word lives, and it's how we live. And this Word abides forever. It's how we have eternal life. Now look here at the next thing, 1 Peter 1:24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falleth away. That ought to tell us we don't really owe the flesh anything, and we ought not to be seeking any feeding on the flesh or seeking anything from the flesh, should we? That's feeding on death. But look at this. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. So we see another reason why the word's vital to a believer. Not only do we have spiritual life, we have eternal life by this word. And we'll live forever by this word. This new, born-again Spirit of God, we're alive forever by this word. And then he gives us a third reason. And he says at the end of verse 25, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word by which Christ, the gospel, is preached unto you. Now, we preach the Word of God, capital W-O-R-D. We preach Christ. We preach Christ who is the Word, who was in the beginning, before the beginning, who was with God and is God. We preach the Word, and that Christ, the Word, is who the whole written Word speaks about. And that's this word that we're preaching, as we preach the written word, we're preaching Christ the Word. Now let me ask you something. Can you live without Christ the Word? No. Well then we can't live without the written word either. Because that's what the written word is, Christ the Word. And we can't live without the one, we can't live without the other. So the Holy Spirit says through Peter here, seeing then that you were born again by the Word of God, seeing then it's the Word of God that's given you eternal life so that you're ever alive and you'll ever endure by the Word of God, and seeing how that it's by the Word that Christ the Word is preached unto you, he says then, 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore? Wherefore? What more reason do we need? Wherefore? Laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Now go back to our text just a minute. You can leave Peter there. Go on back to our text and look at this. Some at Corinth, to whom Paul was writing, had done just the opposite of this. Instead of laying aside the carnal, laying aside that malicious spirit with all of its dead fruit, they were feeding on that. And they had laid aside the Word. They had laid aside the Word. He says, verse 2, neither yet are you able to bear this strong meat, for you're carnal. You're yet carnal. Whereas there is among you envy, strife, divisions, are you not carnal? He could be saying this. Are you not feeding on your flesh rather than on the Word? The carnal is what they need to lay aside and desire that Word, that milk of the Word. It wouldn't be so bad to still be babies if they still had the hunger for the Word. But here's the problem. You babies, and you're more involved with this flesh than you are with the Word. You're looking after the flesh more than the Word. Feeding on that more than the Word. Now, true believers, I want you to hear me carefully on this. True believers, I mean born of God, redeemed, chosen, born, of God, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility, and it's a necessity. It's a responsibility and a necessity. And it's this: not to feed on these carnal things, but to feed our inward man by the Word of God. That we have a responsibility to do that. And it's a necessity that we do it. Through hearing the gospel preached, you're faithful to come here and hear the gospel preached. We need to come hear the gospel preached. It's so vital. It's so vital. It's the most important thing to a believer, to hear Christ exalted. But then, when we leave, we go and we feed more upon the Word, feeding upon the Word concerning what we've heard. What we've heard preached. And then by asking Christ, who is the Word, who's going to grow us up into Him, who gave us preachers to feed us, who gave us His gospel to grow us, and who is the one through the Spirit that's going to grow us. We've got to ask Him, Lord, grow us. Make this bread nourish my body. That's what I need spiritually. I need for Him to make this spiritual food nourish me spiritually. Now, somebody might say, well, we trust the sovereign God. What are you doing talking here about this being our responsibility? Well, naturally speaking, I need God to give me the means to earn my bread, to have bread. I need God to give me the place to prepare the bread. I need God, when I eat the bread, I need God to nourish my body, or the bread's not going to do me any good. If He doesn't make it nourish my body, it's not going to do me any good. And God's sovereign to do all those things. But I can tell you this, when I'm hungry, God's sovereignty is not going to stop me from sitting down at the table and eating. How about you? And I have to. I have to. If I don't, I'm going to die. Well, that's true of the Word of God. It's true of the Word of God. We can't say, well, God's sovereign. If He wants me to grow and wants to feed me, He'll just grow me and feed me. God says, you better eat my Word. You better eat my flesh, Christ said, or you don't have any life in you. Now, I know this is without a doubt. We worship the triune God who is absolutely sovereign over all. We worship God our Father who chose His people freely by His grace before the foundation of the world, and none shall be able to pluck one of His children out of His hand. We worship Christ the Lord who loved us from everlasting and came to where we are and redeemed His people by His precious blood, and we're risen with Him and seated at God's right hand. And of all that the Father has given to Him, He will not lose one. He will raise them all up again at the last day. And it's a necessity, an absolute necessity, that we be born of the Spirit of God. The carnal man will not receive the things of God, and he cannot receive the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. We must be born of the Spirit of God. We must be fed by the Spirit of God. We must be grown by the Spirit of God. We must be preserved by the Spirit of God. He has to give us that hunger, and He has to keep us hungering. And He is able to turn us from our flesh, and He's able to turn us away from ourselves, and He will turn His child to Christ, and He will grow His child according to His will, and nobody's going to stop Him from doing it. But there is such a thing in the Scripture as quenching the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:19, quench not the Spirit, small s, Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, let me see if I can illustrate it. As believers, we come in here and we hear the gospel preached. I come in here just jumping ready to go because I've been studying, you know, the Word. And y'all come in here tired. You've been working. But when we leave here, the Spirit of God, as He's blessed the Word, the Spirit of God strengthens your inner man. And you feel recharged. You feel revitalized. You feel like you've been strengthened by His. That's the Spirit He's talking about. That the Holy Spirit of God has, He's strengthened you in the inner man. Well, if we leave here and we lay aside the Word, And we go out into the world, and the rest of the week we spend our time feeding on the carnal, fleshly things. That's what we feed. That's what we feed on. It's just the carnal. And we don't continue feeding the new man in the Word, by the Word. Well, which spirit is going to be quenched and which spirit's going to be strengthened? The new spirit or that old carnal spirit? See what I'm saying? Listen to what Paul. Paul is the one who teaches us most about the sovereignty of God. He teaches us most about the necessity of the new birth and the Spirit's work within us. He's the one, very one we read when we learn of these things. Listen to what Paul told Timothy. He said this, "I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee." Did Paul suddenly forget that he's the one that told us God's absolutely sovereign? No. He told Timothy, "I'm putting you in remembrance now that you stir up the gift of God that's in you." It's a gift that God gave you. Now you stir it up. How? The Word of God. The Word of God. So that's what we see. This is number one of utmost importance. Don't lose that hunger. Be hungry. Be hungry. As a newborn baby, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That's number one. Hungry. Be hungry babies. All right. Now look, here's the second thing. It's good to be babies in regard to the malice of our carnal flesh. It's another way to be a baby. Now back in our text in 1 Corinthians 3:3, he says, "You're yet being carnal. There's among you envy and strife and division. Are you not carnal and walking as men?" They were strong in the flesh and weak in the spirit. They were being men in the flesh, and they were being babies when it came to spiritual strength. Christ had sent the gospel to them. I want you to think of this now. Just think of this. This is so of us, and this will make you see how foolish this is of us. God had sent the gospel to the Corinthians, the gospel of God's free grace, the gospel that declares Christ freely justified His people, and that this free justification is given to us freely through the free gift of faith that God gives. They had a preacher, multiple preachers in Corinth. That there was, I believe, more than one church there. It was a big place. I believe there was several churches there. And they had multiple preachers given to them there, freely given to them by God. They had brethren God had freely given them. Brethren, one of the greatest gifts God gives us on this earth. Freely given to them. In everything, Paul said, you are enriched by Him. In everything. So that you don't come behind anybody in the gifts of God. And every bit of this enriching, every one of these gifts were freely given to them by God. Freely given. And they had God's promise that He's going to confirm them to the end. Just like He confirmed them in the beginning, He'd confirm them, preserve them all the way to the end. All this by His free grace. All of this. And yet, despite all this, they envied one another. They envied one another because God gave one a gift that He didn't give the other one. Isn't that amazing? It was all free. It all came from God. They weren't ones that had anything to glory in, yet they were envious that one of their brethren had a gift that they didn't have. And then they were striving with one another. Here they are in the midst of the church that God freely chose, in the midst of the church Christ freely redeemed, midst of the church freely regenerated, freely preserved. They freely put in the midst of this, in the Spirit now. Here they are. And they're striving with their brethren. And then they had, because of all this, they broke off and were divided into cliques. That's what that word division is. They had gotten into cliques, different cliques. One party exalted themselves over another party. When it was God who freely took them all, everyone off the very same dung heap, and freely separated all them out of the world and translated them into the kingdom of God. And it was God that had freely united them together in one body in Christ Jesus. And yet, using the things God gave them, using the Word, using gifts, using the graces God had given, they're divided off into cliques. So one clique thinking they're better than the other clique. You know, God gives us this to show us, because they did it by the same carnal flesh that we do it by. We do these things too. They did it by this, by the carnal flesh. But isn't it foolish when you think about that? Think about believers using the things of God, the gifts of God, everything we have because God gave it, and we're going to divide from one another and argue over this glorious doctrine of free grace and redemption to the point that we're split off into sects and into cliques and divided when everything we have, God gave it to us. Isn't it foolish? Well, Christ said when it comes to our carnal flesh, when it comes to this carnality, look at go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Christ said when it comes to this, you be a baby. You think that it was something that they did this under the Apostle Paul, under his ministry. Christ's own apostles did the same thing. Started arguing over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And look at what Christ did. It says, verse 2, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And we're talking about, I don't know the age of this child, but we're talking about in Luke's gospel, he says it's infants. And here he takes a little infant, toddler, whatever, and sets it there in their midst, in the middle of all of them. And he says this, verily I say unto you, except you be converted. From what? Weren't they already regenerated and called? Yeah. Weren't they already converted? Yeah. Converted from what? Converted from this carnal flesh of envying one another and striving against one another and dividing against one another. Unless you be converted from this and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. He's talking about his people here. And my little child that is humbled by my grace and has humbled himself under my hand and cast himself into the care of Christ. Anybody that offends one of them, and he's doing it to me, Christ said. And he says, and who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depths of the sea. That's what Christ says about this matter. Now, here's what I thought on that. When our flesh would envy our brethren, when we would envy a brother or sister, and it's our flesh, it's never of the Spirit of God. That's not of God. Envy's not of God. That's of us, our sinful flesh. And when we began to want to envy our brethren, when I read this here about be a little child, the first word I thought about was, whose child? The child of my sovereign Father. The child of my Father who's sovereign God over heaven, earth, and hell. That's who. I'm His little baby. So when I want to become envious of my brother, I need to remember, God is my Father. God's my Father. He can exalt whoever He wants to exalt. And He can abase whoever He wants to abase. So rather than become envious, you know what I ought to do? Rejoice with my brethren.
Because my father did it. He did it.
And then when our flesh would strive, when we get to striving in our flesh, remember, who's your father? God who rules everything. God who rules all. Even this thing, whatever it is that somebody in their heart striving over with another brother over, it's coming to pass right now under the rule of God our Father's hand. Everything's under the rule of His hand. Maybe somebody's striving with a sister. Maybe your sister just had a bad day. Or maybe if you're striving with a brother who's not doing as one thinks he ought to do, maybe he's doing what he thinks is best for the whole congregation. And I'll tell you this, what a wise pastor told me one time, if you just trust your Heavenly Father, He'll overrule your errors and His too. And He'll show you He's God your Father, and He's doing what's best for the both of you. Just trust Him. Or maybe your father's just giving you an opportunity to give your brother some much-needed encouragement. And rather than do that, what do we usually do? We don't usually say it to the brother. We say it to somebody else. Can you believe he's doing so-and-so? I know he's doing it this, does that, blah, 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 blah. Christ said, that's my child. That's my child. Better have a big giant weight put around your neck, a millstone wrapped put around your neck, and be thrown into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. That's what Christ says about me. Y'all better not offend me. That's what Christ says about you, Art. I better not offend you. And then when our flesh would divide from our brethren, remember, God's my Father. I'm His little child. What did He do to make me one with God? What did He do to make me one with my brethren? God gave His only begotten Son to make me one with Him. Am I sure I want to talk about one for whom Christ died? Am I sure I want to divide brethren for whom Christ died? The Word of God says, you want to feed on the Word? Want to be fed by the Word? The Word says, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's what the Word says. So as a helpless, dependent, adoring toddler of my Father, what am I going to do? Look at Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12. I'm a helpless, dependent child. So I'm going to receive whatever my Father does in His kingdom. It's His kingdom. So whatever He does in it, it's for my good. It's for the good of my brothers and sisters. And it's for His glory. So I can receive it. Whatever He does in Providence, whatever He does, I can receive it. Just bow to Him and look at this. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, as a holy and beloved child of God, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Sometimes we do better to just ask a couple of questions, you know, and we can, to our brother or sister when we don't understand something. We might find out they weren't even looking at me when I thought they was giving me a dirty look. You know what I'm saying? We go off and think about things for days and days and get all twisted up about it. You might go talk to your brother or sister and find out they weren't even looking at you. But that's what he's talking about. Be long-suffering, kind, humble-minded, forgiving. Verse 14, above all these, put on charity. Love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To the which also you're called in one body. And be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. This is what we're talking about, Christ's word. Be fed by the word, not this flesh. Teaching and admonishing one another in our personal fleshly words, stirring up envy and strife and division. Is that what he's talking about? Is that how we're supposed to speak to one another and admonish one another? Look what he said. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then look at this. Look at this last thing here in verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's what Christ is talking about when He says, when it comes to malice and the flesh and the carnal and all that, you know, instead of thinking you got to grab somebody by the neck and wring their neck and, you know, and I got to take up for me and mine and all this, He says, be a little child. Be like a toddler, totally dependent on your Heavenly Father. It's what Peter said when he said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Cast all your care on Him. He'll exalt you in due time. Make sure He's the one that's done it. We hadn't done it ourselves. He'll do it in due time. Now let me show you this last thing, and I'm going to be very quick, very brief. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14:20. But when it comes to spiritual discernment and understanding, it's not time to be a baby then. It's time to be a man. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and look at verse 20. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. See that? Don't be children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. It's perfect. It's mature. That's what the word means. Turn over to Hebrews 5. The only way we can have this is by the Spirit of God teaching us. You take a word like this right here, you make your feet on this word, you make you turn away from your carnal flesh and be a child in malice, and He'll feed you, and He'll teach you this. He'll exercise you in this word. That's the only way we can be taught this. That's how it is. That's how you grow. Watch this now. Hebrews 5:11. He'd been talking about Melchizedek, and he said, Christ after the order of Melchizedek, and he said, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. These things are, not only do we have a lot to say, it's hard to preach on these things. Seeing ye are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers. You see, Corinthians were having the same problem as the Hebrews. For when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now he's going to tell us something here about a person that uses milk. Everyone that useth milk, this is milk as just the basic principles now. Everybody that uses milk's unskillful in the word of righteousness, of knowing what's righteous and right, for he's a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, mature, same word here, perfect, mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses, their spiritual senses, exercised so that they discern both good and evil. They discern the word of righteousness. They discern both good and evil. Now let me be brief on this. We got to have our spiritual senses exercised by hearing and seeing Christ high and lifted up in this gospel. It's what I'm trying to teach you tonight, is to look to Christ, look to Christ, hear Christ. By smelling the sweet odor of Christ's one offering for sin. By tasting the Lord's gracious in all that He has done, all that He is doing, and all that He shall do. By feeling and handling the Word of life in all our trials and all our shortcomings. So that spiritually we're hearing, we're seeing, we're smelling, we're tasting, we're feeling, we're handling. It's all Christ. Christ, Christ, Christ. And what we're taught by this, by having these spiritual senses exercised, we're taught that Christ is the faithful and the true witness. That's what we're taught. He's faithful and He's true. So ultimately, what it comes down to, what this word of righteousness is and what it is to discern between good and evil is this. what's going to give Christ the glory and what does not glorify Him. So when I'm sitting and I'm listening, I can discern between the law and the gospel. I have my spiritual senses exercised. I can discern between the doctrines of men and the doctrine of Christ. The doctrines of men is going to always glorify men. The doctrines of Christ is going to glorify Him only. I can discern between when to speak myself and when to just keep silent. Why? Because I've learned something about Christ. You learn something about this, get some discernment about when should I say a word in season and when's it time to just be quiet. You learn when am I looking to myself and discern between that and when I'm looking to Christ. Sometimes we find ourselves looking to us, doing it for our glory rather than His glory. We get given that discernment to tell the difference. When we ought to be babies, when we ought to be men. See, I'm showing you tonight when you ought to be babies. Two ways you ought to be babies and a way you ought to be men. And we get discernment as He exercises these senses. And this stronger meat. But none of these things will be given to us by our flesh. Our flesh profits nothing. Our carnal flesh has nothing to do with this. Somebody can say a word to us, or the preacher can decide to do something, and everybody get upset, and you know, all. And it might be a mistake the preacher's making. If you're the child of God, baby, be a baby, and trust your father like a baby, and you watch him overrule the errors of the preacher, and teach you something and him something all at the same time. Watch it happen. I've seen it happen. I've had it happen to me as the preacher. I've been in both places when it happened. But it won't happen by the flesh. It won't happen by trying to make it happen. It won't happen by us being envious and striving and dividing. So here's how, number one, we got it. As a baby, desire the sincere milk of the Word. That's how we're going to grow. You can get, I was down on Monday. Went through my normal Monday valley. And you listen to, I'll just listen to some happy music. That'll help. No, it won't. I'll go to the gym and work out. That'll help. No, it won't. I'll do this. I'll do that. No, it won't help. But you get in the Word of God, that helps. There's your strength. So as babies, feed on the Word. Number two, as a baby, receive the kingdom of God. Like a little baby, just trusting your father. And being a baby in malice and, you know, just being a baby, trusting Him. And then lastly, but in understanding, be men. Seek to grow, seek to grow. Seek, ask Him, Lord, take this and make me. Make me a baby in these two areas and a man in this other area. Grow me in grace. Teach me. He's the only one that can do it. I pray He'll bless that. Amen.